Since Pastor's not here, I guess I'll fill in. How are you guys doing this morning? I feel awake this morning. Usually I'm a little tired, a little drained, but I feel pretty awake this morning. That fool you guys? So, it's a blessing to be here, and your pastor, he went on a conference with, I think it was like 15,000 different pastors. They all went to Washington, D.C. So Pastor Fred went there, and so I'm filling in for him. So let's go ahead and get started here. Before we start, though, I just want to tell you something as soon as I find my papers here. And excuse my Bible. Look, I got CDs in it. It's falling apart. Probably be a little nicer to it. But I've had it a while, so he's okay. He's been through a lot. All right. So anyways, what I always do is before I, when I know I have to get up here and do the P word, preach. I don't know, I just feel funny about saying that. But anyways, before I do that, I always go to the Lord and I say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? So this time he told me to tell you that, to tell them I love them. And he said, today, every thought will be captive to the obedience of Christ. Today, every thought is going to be captive to the obedience of Christ. Today. So here we go. Let's go up to the throne room, all right? We should go for prayer if we're going to have every thought captive to the obedience of Christ today, right? So let's go ahead to prayer. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Father, that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just thank you for the river that is flowing through this place. I thank you that it's a river of healing, a river that will just be restoring people, a river of life. And I thank you that it flows from your throne. There is goodness, mercy, and grace flowing out of it for everyone in this place. Father, I just ask that legions of angels fill this room and that they administer to every person in this place. I lift up the children's ministry to you, Father. I pray that every child has an angel with them ministering to them today, Lord. I pray, Father, that those children will come to know who you are and that they will live it and they will walk it and they'll be much further than we have ever gone in you. So Father, I just ask that you would just release your open heaven in this place. And I just thank you that angels are ascending and descending in this place. And I just thank you for revelation. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you for every child. I just thank you, Lord. And we're just going to bless your holy name. I just ask that you would remove me out of this vessel and that you would just fill me full of the Holy Spirit and that we will hear what you have to say to your church, your bride today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the Lord said to tell you that I love them. He said, I love you. And he said, today every thought will be captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so let's go to our scripture. Isaiah 21:10. This table, it feels a little close. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 21:10. Oh, my threshing and the corn on my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. You may be seated. That was short and sweet, wasn't it? But it sounds bad. There's a lot of threshing going on. So to start off with one on 8/16, August the 16th was the last time I was up here to bring you the word. And the Lord was saying then, O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. And I spoke about that and about what the threshing meant. And the threshing was to separate the wheat or the corn here from the chaff. And they did that by beating it. They had to actually take a, they beat it, they did all pulverized it. you know, the way you've been feeling, you know, beaten, pulverized a little bit. So since then, since I've spoken on that, Pastor has been preaching on trials and then how to get through the trials. So we're in the threshing process, and the Lord's, he's told you that you're going through this threshing process, and now you guys are learning how to get through it, how to get through the threshing, how to make it, how to not say, I'm giving up and throwing up your arms and running away. So you're learning how to get through this. And so since he's been preaching this, one of my favorite things that's really helped me, you can go and put that picture up there. Pastor has been preaching on these trials, and these are some of my pictures I draw during the sermons. So that's me right there. And he was talking about warfare, because that's what's going on with us, the battle in our mind, because he said thoughts come from two places, either God or they come from Satan. So this is what I pictured. I pictured warfare, and he told us warfare actually meant a campaign for your soul. And then up here we got all these, we got the devils, you know, the little demons over there, and I got all the good guys over here. And that's what actually happens in our mind, is because over here the enemy's saying, you're a failure, you know, but God's saying, no, you're victorious, all right? Because what Pastor was teaching was the more that we put in us, because the Holy Spirit is our campaign manager, so the more we put in us, the more signs I got to put up, so I'm going to win. So, you know, in here, you're a loser, and Jesus, and, you know, God's saying, the word says, you're mine. And remember your sin, you know, a lot of times he hits you, remember when you did this, you're so awful. And then you can say, no, well, Jesus died for my sin, and I'm forgiven. So that's what's going on in our mind. It's just really a battle like that. And so the more the word you put in you, the more you got more ammunition to fight with. So I just love that whole picture, because it really helps me, because it made me have a little, like, I got to put more in here if I'm going to win. Because what is your vote? What are you going to vote for? Well, the more the enemy's things you got in there, you're going to go the enemy's side. But the more you got the Holy Spirit bringing up to your remembrance, the little banners that raising up, you're going to go on that side. You're going to go for what God says about you, right? So we want to go for what God says about us, not what the enemy is. So that's why it was so important to put the word in us, so the Holy Spirit can bring those back to your remembrance. So I really love that picture. So then I said, I just love this. It's warfare, isn't it? It's what's going on in our mind. Okay, so why did the Lord liken us to corn here in Isaiah 21:10? I was like, why did you liken us to corn? And here it's the chaff. The chaff on the corn has to be taken off to reveal the true corn, the true kernel of corn. Well, it's like us. We got to have the world taken off of us so we can be really who we're called to be. We can't have the world still on us and walking around and still being a Christian. We still can't be doing all these things that everybody's doing. I mean, not everything is bad, but, you know, we can't be going into the bars and then profess and, you know, drinking, getting, you know, hammered, and then come in the church and say, praise the Lord. I mean, I know we all struggle in areas, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us, but you're going to make it. But you just got to know you can't always stay there in that place. All right, we just can't stay in that place. The Holy Spirit, if he's living inside of you, you are constantly changing. You're conforming to be more like Jesus Christ, right? We're always conforming, we're changing to become more like him, all right? And so in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know, that word generation doesn't mean an age group. And I love this, because I just found this out, because I was thinking I've been hearing, you know, all the youth, they're all, you know, we got to pass the baton. And I thought, I'm not ready to give up yet. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, you know. So I want to keep going on. And I love the youth, and I want them to come up too. But I enjoy where I'm at, and I got a life to live. I'm not ready to retire yet, you know. So that generation word actually means all of us. We're all together, young and old. We're all of us. All of us. And I think that's an exciting thing, because it's this generation. Here we are. Okay, so we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That means you're set apart, you're different than the world. His own special people, that we should show forth praises to him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, so he's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That means how you used to be, you're not like that anymore. Do you remember how you used to be? Some of you still might be the used to be, because you don't know Jesus yet. But I tell you what, if you want to know about Jesus after the sermon, you come talk to me, and I'll tell you about Jesus. But anyways, so what happens is when you're in the world, it's darkness, right? So you come out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So it's the same thing as if we go out and we are doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. You know, I know I can't, television, there's not everything's bad on it, but I prefer not to watch the television because it's too hard to find something that isn't bad. So I don't want to have to pick through everything and let everything go through my eyes, because my eyes are the windows to my soul. So every time I put some junk in there that is not of God, it actually is like gook, black gook, and my light don't shine, because see, I got that nastiness in me now because I seen it. You guys all know, if you see pictures or something, you close your eyes, you can still think about that picture you saw. If you saw something, you can't forget it. It's just in there. So we're called to be different. We're called to be, we're just called to cast off the world and be different, right? So 1 John 2:15, I think 16 too, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So why does the Lord compare us to this grain of corn still? Well, corn is very much like the way we work. See, we have, you can go ahead and try and put the other picture up there. Corn is very much like how we are. It has three parts. Right, we have a spirit, and we have a spirit and a soul and a body, and that's how corn is. It has three parts too, right? So I wanted to show you this corn here, so you can kind of understand what was going on when the threshing was going down. Beat the chaff off, and here's this corn. All right, a piece of corn, three parts. Has an endosperm. It's a tissue that surrounds the developing embryo. That's like our body. We have a shell. Our body houses the spirit and the soul. Okay, then you see down there has the embryo. That's the embryo, that's your soul. And that's the newly, it's a newly born, early undeveloped stages of something. All right, so, and how many know we're growing in our soul? Our soul, man, he's still growing, right? So our soul is, in Psalms 139:13, it says, for thou hast formed my inward part. Thou hast weaved me in my mother's womb. My inward part. The inside of you. The inward part. So this is a picture of how we are. We have a body. Really, we should be spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit should be dragging every else thing along. Then we have this spirit. Now let me see. I caught Aladdin. I had to look it up in the dictionary and look at the pronunciation, because it was like, wow, do you say that word? Cotyledon, it's a hollow cavity, and it's ready to yield fruit. Actually, that little cavity there, it actually is ready, and it has like two little leaves inside of it just waiting to bust forth. It's like asleep, all right, and it's waiting to bust forth, and it's how you are, right? It's like until you receive Jesus, your spirit is asleep, and it's not awake yet. So after you receive Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit, it comes in, your spirit's awake, and now you can commune with God. And I looked up in Galatians, see this cotyledon is the hollow cavity, and it's your first fruit of the corn comes from there. So you know what the Spirit is? In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So we also have fruit from the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. All right, so Here you are. You're like this piece of corn, all right? Now I want to talk about sometimes what happens to the corn. And you can see I kind of scribbled a little bit on here. I should have drew a worm, because you see that little ziggy line there? That's like a worm. And this worm is sometimes, if you just sit there, the corn sits there, what will happen is the worm will start burrowing into it, and it actually will kill the corn, and it won't be able to live. And did you know that if corn has to have a certain degree of heat, if it's like, I think below 60, it will just not grow at all. Did you know that? If it just won't grow if it's too cold. Isn't it like us? We got to have some heat on where we can grow. Because if we don't have heat from these trials and things we're going through, we'll just stay all snug and cuddly, and we won't want to do nothing. And then the worm will come, and he'll tear us up. He'll eat us and destroy us, and we'll never be nothing. And that's how it is. This worm actually represents a lie. It goes into your soul. Satan's always coming at you with these lies. And that little worm represents a lie. So our souls are being attacked by Satan. And he's the father of lies. He's been doing it for over 2,000 years. And he is good at it. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you're ignorant at, where you don't know what the Word of God says about something. He knows it. And he's always, you know, he's very crafty, and I'm not trying to give him credit, but, you know, the truth is he's real, and he wants to destroy your soul. Because remember, it's war. It's warfare, the campaign for your soul. That's what was going on with the little picket signs. It's a war. And so if the enemy comes with a lie, and I don't know the truth about it, I say what I do know. But see, in the back of my mind, I kind of I'm thinking to myself, is this God or is this Satan? Have any of you ever done that? Has Satan ever told you lies and you don't know if it's the truth or not? Because you're not for sure if it's God or if it's Satan, because you're ignorant in that area. You don't know what he's saying to you. You know, it doesn't sound right to you. So what you do is, the first thing you know, you hear something and it doesn't sound right to you. So what you do is you start going, okay, well, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Excuse me for a minute. I just really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to take this oil and go like this on my head. So I don't want to be disobedient. Even if it sounds silly, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Okay, so anyways, you don't know what the truth is, so anyways, it's a lie, you know what the truth is, so you are going, is this God, is this Satan? You don't know, so you start saying what you do know. You say, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, it comes back again later. The lie comes back again later, but you still don't know it's a lie. And the lie comes back, and you thought, well, I don't know if this is true or not. I just don't know if this is true or not. So you say, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Well, it comes back again. And so you say, I just don't know. Is this true? I don't know. This can't be right. This just can't be right. So you learn a couple new scriptures, and you hit them with that. You're not sure. Well, I'm gonna give you an example of what happened to me, okay? This has been going on for months. And I didn't know, I thought it was God. Anyways, I'd hear a voice and it would say, your husband's gonna die. And I would say, no, he's not. You're a liar. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Come back again. Your husband's gonna die. What if he does die? No, I'm not even going there. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. Well, come back later. Your husband's going to die. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive, you know. Well, then your husband, you know, Lloyd's going to die because of such and such. You know, this is why it's going to happen. And so I said, oh, this can't be right. This doesn't sound like God. Why would he tell me my husband's going to die, you know? So I would say, I learned new scripture. Says, oh God, you have sent your angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. And you have found no wrong in me. Because I thought, I am bad for thinking these thoughts. And I said, he has found no wrong in me. I've done nothing wrong before the king. Right? He found innocency in me. Well, anyways, it would go away a little bit and then would come back. It was just almost like a little nagging thing at me all the time. Well, then it would come back again and says, He is going to die, because in order for you to stand up and tell anybody anything, you're going to have to go through something. So this is going to be part of your testing. You're just, you know, he's going to die, and then the rest of your family is going to die, and you're going to be alone. And so in my mind, I started entertaining, what if? What if that happened? What kind of job am I going to go get? Would I have to move out of my house? Where would I go? You know, I really feel like God's calling me to minister in this church. But if I have to go out and do something else and have to try to take care of me and my kids, you know, for a while, maybe, you know, they might go away too, but what am I going to do? So in my mind, see, I started entertaining these lies. You know what happened to me? I bought a lie. I started buying the lie. Satan gave me a lie, and I bought the lie. So I want to ask you guys, has any of you bought lies? Because I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you these things, because I feel like a lot of times when I go through things, it's what the body is going through. So how many of you bought lies? It might not be your husband. It could be different areas in your life. And I wrote down some different areas. But let me tell you first how, like, so finally after, I gotta tell you some things first before I tell you what the areas. But anyways, what happened was I started buying these lies, and then, I mean, I was just like, I didn't know I was buying lies, I thought they were God. So the next thing I know, I'm inside of me saying, I cannot take thinking about this anymore. Because every time I turn around, your husband's gonna die, this is what's gonna happen, blah, 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 you know, in my mind, going around circles. So I said, I can't take this anymore. So I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, you know what? You are in control. If Lloyd's going to die, he's going to die. I cannot help it. I mean, you are in control. If he's supposed to die tomorrow, you're going to kill him. I can't stop you. You're God. But please, please quit making me think about this all the time. I don't want to think about this anymore. So then later on, it came back again, and so I cried out to the Lord again. Well, then I got a word on it. Because, see, this was a secret between me and God. No one knew about this. No one knew the things that he was telling me behind the scenes. The Lord gave me a word, and it was in Elasticles 10:1. So I want you guys to go there. Elasticles 10:1. This is what he showed me. And this my version here might read a little different than yours. Elasticles 10:1. Dead flies rotten the anointment of the perfumer. To send forth a foul odor, so doth a little folly. You know what that folly means? A lack of understanding. To one that is respected for wisdom and honor. Dead flies rotten the ointment of the perfumer. So someone would throw away a bottle of perfume if it had a dead fly in it, because it would start making it stink, all right? Dead flies are actually lies that come to try to steal your anointing. Every one of you who believe in Jesus Christ has received the Holy Spirit, and you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you. Dead flies come because they want to ruin you. They want to destroy you. Isn't Satan just crafty? He wants you to buy a lie. He wants to destroy your witness. You know, he wants to destroy your witness. I think about, you know, if people go to parties and they think, well, everyone's drinking, so I got to drink or they're not going to accept me. You know where that thought came from? That's a lie. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Because you know what's going to do? What happens is you're going to do that, and then someone's going to pop up from church who's watching you. And what, now they're just going to throw you out. I can't trust the word they say. Can't trust the word they do. They stink. They throw you out like perfume. And that's what Satan wants to do. He's that worm, that lie, trying to bore his way into your soul, tell you a lie in a place where you have a lack of understanding. That's what that word folly means. So doth the little folly. You're ignorant in areas, and he knows it. I didn't know what the word said that about my husband dying. Finally, I just got to a point, it's like, I'm just trusting you. I don't know what's going on. But you know, he is a faithful, loving father, and he knows what you're going through, every little thing. And this was a secret, like I said. It was between me and God. And only we knew. So I'm going to tell you four areas. Four areas that this can get in. If you do not turn these areas over to the Lord, then these are four areas that he will come in and you can vitalize. First, in your finances, right? He might tell you stuff like this. You're never going to make it. You're never going to get out of debt. These are all lies. You can't afford to tithe. You're going to lose your car and your house. These are all lies. Do not buy these lies. How about your social, your friends, and your relationships? If you don't drink, they're not going to accept you. They're not going to think you're cool. If you're not keeping up with things, they're going to reject you. If you're not going to keep up with the Joneses and have the best kind of car, if you're not going to have this at your house or have that, if you don't dress like this, they're not going to accept you. These are all lies. You're called to be holy, different, set apart. That's why we're going through the things we're going through. Emotional. Another area is your emotional realm. Don't go there. They always make you feel this way. You're alone. You're so down. No one wants to be around you. They did this to me. I don't want to be around them. Is that how we're supposed to be thinking? Uh-uh. No matter what no one does to us, we are to be Christ. Right? We're supposed to let our light shine. These are lies. See, if he can keep you isolated and away from everybody, he can do some more damage to you, can't he? So do not buy these lies. Here's the last one. Sexually. I have the wrong mate. I really should have waited for this one. One little peek at porn, no one's going to find out. These are lies. The enemy comes in and puts these lies into your head, and then you buy them. I'm telling you now, do not buy them. We need to surrender those four areas, our finances, our social, our emotional, and our sexual areas to the Lord. Surrender them to the Lord. Give that all to the Lord. Know that he's going to take care of you financially. He's going to take care of you. You know, if you're struggling tithing, tithe anyway. It says, try me, remember? We got to stick to this word. We got to stick to this word. What about our social? If you go drinking, if you go keeping up with the Joneses, you ended up buying things that the Lord didn't want you to have. So you end up in a mess, then what kind of witness are you? See, he's that fly in the anointing. He wants to ruin you. Emotionally, he wants to keep you away from everybody. He wants to keep you away from everybody so he can have you alone. And so he can just work on you even more. Because he wants to destroy your soul. Sexually, he wants to destroy marriages. He wants to break up homes and families. He's after your kids, and if he can break up your marriage, your kids are hurting too, aren't they? Whatever you do in secret will be brought out to the light, so don't think you're doing nothing in secret. Okay, so Satan wants to put this fly in your anointing. Remember, every one of you is anointed. Just because you're not doing something fabulous in a ministry, or just because you're not, you know, even if you are just a mom staying at home and you're taking care of your kids, you have an anointing. There is an anointing. You have an anointing. He's anointed you to preach the gospel and to set the blind free, to set the captive free, to give the sight back to the blind, sorry. But You even have that. If you are, you know, people retired think that they can't, you know, some of these older people that are retired think they can't do anything. You are anointed. You might be intercessors. Maybe you can't do anything. I remember Maudie Elsner, some of you might not know her, but she was an older lady. I think she was 89 or 90 before she passed away. But she had a wooden leg, all right, and she had a walker. And she had a hard time controlling her bladder, and she had a hard time getting around, and she needed help. She couldn't clean her house. When you went to her house, there was this little walkway. She couldn't do anything for herself. But she told me, she goes, Paula, because she kind of talked a little. She goes, Paula, I still get on my knees while I'm doing dishes and pray on a wooden leg. She was amazing. But she was not giving up or quitting. And you know what? Every time the door was open, she would try to get herself up here. She'd be calling us up and asking someone to pick her up because she knew she had to be in the body because she was all alone over there. So I want to tell you, Satan wants to be the fly in your anointment, right? He wants to destroy your anointing. Or maybe he already has. Maybe you've already bought lies like I had. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord said, remember what the Lord said at the beginning? He says, today, every thought will be held captive. And we learned that the word captive meant to conquer with the sword. So today, every thought will be held captive. It'll be held by the sword. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. And I'm going to ask that the Lord will show us in our foremost of our mind, in our soul, what is that lie that we are buying? Or what is the lie that Satan's trying to sell us that we're kind of looking at to buy? All right? And then what we're going to do is we're going to go lock it up, and we're never going to go back in there again. We're never going to go back in that room. And you're going to be free. This is what I did. The Lord showed me to do this, and I did it, and I'm telling you what, I feel so free. And I know that you guys can receive the same freedom. I am here to set the captives free. That's my call. It's my anointing. So here we go. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. I just thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for the open heaven. I thank you that you've been ministering to people as they've been sitting in their chair. Holy Spirit, we need you desperately. We need your power. We need your comfort. We need your counsel. So we just asked right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would show each and every one of us the lie that Satan is trying to sell us. The lie that we bought. I pray, Father, that you would just show us in the name of Jesus. Okay, I believe that everyone in here is seeing. They're seeing their lie, or the lie that's trying to be sold to them. And right now, what we're going to do is you're going to go into a room, and there's two doors. When you go in, there's a door, and when you go out at the other end, there's a door. Okay, I want you to run into the room, and now that lie is following after you. I want you to go over there and lock that door, and then run around and lock the other door. And that lie is in there, and there's bolts on the door, and it cannot get out. And Jesus is waiting on the other side. He has freed you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for setting us free. Thank you for the wind that is blowing in this place, for the healing river that's flowing through this place. I thank you that it flows from your throne. Oh, Father, I decree right now that the people are set free from lies that are keeping them back from becoming what they're supposed to be. And Father, in places where we are ignorant, I pray that you would fill us full of wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Just surround us, Lord. Surround us like a comforter. Make us one. Just thank you for this, Father. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.